Here at Clemson Football Media Days, visiting now with linebackers coach Ben Bulware. No stranger to the program. It's great to see you. Coach Bulware, I'll say that now. How are you?
Cade walked up literally yesterday. He goes, "What's up, Ben?" Coach Bulware, I'm sorry. And I was like, dude, it's okay. I'm not really offended. As long as I'm having to tell the guys, like, hey, don't call me bro. Like, you can call me Ben. I don't care about Ben Bulware, Coach Bulware, don't call me freaking bro. I'm not your freaking bro. So that's I feel like the benefit for me is obviously being one of the younger guys as a position coach, that I'm closest in age to some of these guys, and I can relate to them really, really well. So I'm just, that's one of the things that I actively have to battle and work on is, hey, I'll be your friend outside of football, and we'll chop it up, live life. But once we get in the meeting room or on the practice field, I'll freaking rip you. Like, I'm your coach, you know. So that's just a thing that I'm actively battling. So, Ben, this can be Ben. I don't know.
Okay.
We know each other previously, so it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. 2 years ago, you're a weekly guest on Out of Bounds. Last year, you come on the staff, and now, guys that you were, you know, you probably had a little bit of seniority over, but very collegial, you know. Like, you're very much sort of able to talk to them. Now you've transitioned very quickly into a leadership role over them. What has that transition been like as you've tried to establish that with your linebackers?
It's been fun. I think last year, I mean, not to talk about the past, but Wes did a good job of allowing me to help the guys out, even on game day. Like, I had an iPad. I was in there coaching. On game day, I was honestly doing a lot of the, like, in the huddle coaching on the field. Obviously, game planning stuff, leading the meetings. Wes did all that stuff. I think I really appreciate him for allowing me the experience to speak up whenever I wanted to speak up. And especially during game day, like, have an iPad and talk ball with the guys in between series. So I think that experience last year allowed this transition to be pretty smooth. And now, obviously, like, leading the segment meeting, having a mic, being responsible for all the linebackers is obviously a step up than what it was last year. But I don't think I've been afraid of any challenge throughout my 30 years of life. And I think the experience that I had last year and that Wes gave me allowed this transition to be super smooth.
All right, here's another little bit off-the-wall question about transition, because, like, you've led workouts. Like, you're an entrepreneur, right? You've done that. Are there similarities to doing that versus,
leadership.
Leading a practice?
You're right, yeah. I mean, it's leadership. I think of it as – like, so when was the last time you rode a bike?
Like, outside?
Just when was the last time that you rode a bike?
Sat on a bike. I would say a couple weeks ago in the gym. Yeah.
So, say it's been a couple of years, but say within those couple of years, you've been doing things like learning how to change a tire or fix the brakes on the bike or do tune-ups on the bike. And imagine also when you used to ride bikes, you were one of the best bike riders in the country. You were the MVP of freaking bike riders.
Bike riding.
So if, say, it's been a couple of years since you rode the bike, but you were doing all those things previously, and then throughout these past couple of years, you were doing all the other things to keep your bike riding skills elite. So now I tell you to go hop on a freaking bike. Do you think you could ride a bike right now?
I probably could.
You'd ride the hell out of that bike.
That's right.
So it's been the same thing for me. Like, yeah, it's obviously been a couple of years since I've been in the football world, but I've been doing things like leading people and having to communicate at a high level, and obviously still being very close to Clemson, and came back here on many of occasions. And then obviously having the experience that I got last year, I've been doing so many other things in life that allowed this transition to be super, super smooth. Leading a business of 60, 70 employees is, I would say, just as probably as difficult as leading a group of 14 college meatheads, you know. So that experience has allowed this transition to be super smooth.
Junkyard, partner of the Roar. Shameless plug there. Let's talk a little bit about linebacker, because I think to the naked eye, the people out there, we know that there were things that need to be cleaned up. You've stepped into that role. What are your first priorities in trying to make sure that not necessarily just individually, but collectively, the linebacker group is on its P's and Q's?
I would say the first thing that I'm trying to get our linebacker group to do is go zero dark 30 this year. And I think that Wade and Sammy specifically have another level that they can get to that no one's really pushed them to get to when it comes to taking care of their body, what they're doing outside of the facility, how they study and prepare for game day. There's just another level that they can get to, and my goal for this year is to really get them to that level, or at least help them, whatever that level is for them. I want to maximize their freaking potential, and boy, they got a lot of it. Like, their ceiling is so freaking high. When you're 6'3", 6'4", running a 4.5, and you just happen also, like, they're great kids, they're super athletic, they handle their business outside of football, but there's just a little bit of fine-tuning that I think I can help them with. And then also from the rest of the group is just creating some depth. Like, if we want to be a national championship caliber team this year, we got to have an easy two deep, like three deep. Like, we need multiple guys that can go in there. And, yeah, like, Wade Wood has earned the right to probably go out there and play 50, 60 snaps in a game. But there's going to be 10 to 15 that he may need a breather, or he may stump his freaking toe, and he may need someone to go in there and play 15 snaps for him. And in the length of a season, that happens a lot. You know, guys get injured. He was out, I believe, two or three games last year because of the thigh contusion. And you just never know when a guy's going to go down. When D. Creighton's got to step in and play 60 snaps and freaking grade out at 90%, like, he was ready for the moment, you know. So we need a lot of depth, and we need a two deep that's ready to go in and play 50, 60 snaps at any point.
No doubt about it. And, listen, I want to talk about those frontline guys, but you mentioned it. Part of the issue, I think, and particularly with a new defense, you're going to have a little bit different responsibility. Like, it feels more like a natural 4-2-5. If that's wrong, let me know. So, changes to how the linebacker room utilized in the new defense, or is it generally the same?
Nah, I mean, I'd say football is football. There's only so many things that you really can do. And I think it starts from top down. Like, Coach Sweeney is a 4-2-5, 4-3 type guy, and we'll obviously get creative where we need to be. But, like, football is football. So it's really, for me, I would say the differences is, like, are in, like, how I lead, how I communicate, how I get the guys to prepare. But at the end of the day, football is football.
Visiting with Ben Bulware, linebackers coach for the Tigers. Let's talk about Sammy for a second.
Yep.
Obviously, I mean, bright, shining star. Mm-hmm. What are you trying to draw out of him when you say there's another level? What does that look like for him?
I would say from a preparation standpoint, like, I would say Sammy Brown's like freaking Clark Kent. Like, just like elite in everything that he does. He is a biology major, like 4.0. Like, obviously the measurables are elite when it comes to being a great linebacker at this level. He's a great communicator. He's a freaking just a good dude, like, good people. But I think that he is just a little bit has relied on how freaky of an athlete that he is. And that's gotten him to this point. And I know there's another level. There's always another level of preparation that guys can get to, but they have to be shown. Like, so that's really my challenge for him this year is, I wouldn't even say from a preparation standpoint. I would say it's more like physically, because he is super physically gifted. But here's an example. So one of the things that I have probably cussed them out more with over the past couple months is wearing weight vest. Like, I want them in every workout that is applicable to wear a weight vest to freaking wear it. It doesn't take talent for you to put a weight vest on. It doesn't take you being 6'4" or me being 6 foot or whatever. Like, anyone can put it on. You just got to nut up and put it on. And we've had some back and forth on that. And I've had to, like, go out there and, like, poke my head through the door, see if they're wearing it. And there's been a couple times where they have not, and I've had to freaking rip them. And it's not really an indictment on them. No one's ever, like, told them, hey, you have to do more. Like, we have to do, like, as linebackers, you have to do more than what is required or expected. That's just, like, the role of being a linebacker. You're the quarterback of the defense. You're one of the leaders of the defense. You are typically the leader of the defense. It's hard to be an elite linebacker at this level and not be a great leader and a great communicator. If you're not that, sometimes you'll have guys that are freaky athletic that just happen to get by. But more times than not, if you want to be an elite one, like, you got to do more. And I'll just say that's one of the things. And it's not just Sammy. It's all of them. Like, I've had to cuss them all out about and put the freaking vest on when it's applicable to put it on. Obviously, if you're doing, like, a flying 10 and we're timing it, yeah, don't put it on. Like, we're testing this stuff. But everywhere else, put the freaking vest on. Because now it's a mental thing. Like, you're just being a freaking little weenie by not putting it on. And that's just, like, one of the things that, like, even Sammy, Wade, all of them have to be shown to, like, I mean, that's mental. Just put it on. Stop being soft. So, I mean, and Sammy's All-American in everything that he does. But I know that he knows and that his freaking dad knows and everyone else knows that, like, there's another level. So, that's my goal, is to get it out of them.
That's interesting. We're talking weight vests here with Ben Bulwer.
Small details.
Listen, you're one of the things that I think our listeners really love about you being here is that you do demand this, and you did as a player. You demanded that stuff of your teammates. You were able to lead that way. Do you feel like this was a group, this was a defense in need of demanding?
Absolutely.
Or sort of demonstrating, like, this? You think the standard is here because that's what you're doing, but it's not.
Yeah,
you need to know what it looks like.
Football. Like, any elite team or elite coach or elite programs need guys that are going to demand it. Like, you, whether it's the linebacker coach, whether it's the corner coach or the DC, like, you have to demand it. These guys are freaking 18, 19, 20 years old. I was an idiot when I was 18, 19, 20 years
old.
We
remember.
But I had freaking Brent Venables, like, yeah, breathing down my freaking neck every single day, threatening me. And that's what the 20-year-old Ben needed, like, a guy to get in his freaking butt and threaten him every single day. And everyone saw the fruit that produced. So, obviously, there's, like, I'm not Brent Venables, and I'm not Wes Goodwin, and I'm not Nick Eason. So there's a way that I'm going to do things that will be more tailored to, like, how I communicate and how I lead. And I kind of pick and choose, which, like, hey, I love how he did this. I'm going to probably tweak how he said that. And this, again, is still subjective. Like, people are going to – I'm sure that when I've ripped Wade for a couple weeks ago for something, I'm sure in that moment he's like, I hate him. I'm going to fight him. But, like, after – a day of letting it settle, and I check back in on him. Oh, that makes sense. I get it. So, like, it's my way is not the right way. It's just how I've been taught to lead and to coach. But yeah, to answer your question, I think any elite program needs multiple guys that are demand. I think it's just leadership. Like, you have to demand it. You know, so it's like one of the qualities of being a great leader is, especially in football, is demanding it. You know, this is how we're going to do it. I'll listen to you, and I'll take your feedback. But ultimately, like, this is how we're doing it. I'm going to make you do it.
Feels like that's a strength of Coach Allen's approach, too. What's it like working with him every day? What's it been like last few
months? It's been awesome. I mean, he is creme de la creme. I mean, super wise, a lot of experience, an incredible communicator, super patient. You can tell he's just, like, very patient with his words. Which I notice those things, and I respect, like, how he communicates. I respect how he, like, leads the meeting. Probably the first 30 to 40 minutes of our meetings are not really devotional, but it's just, like, talking. Like, we literally yesterday had a long conversation on the Texas floods and how just heartbreaking that situation is. And I'm about to start tearing up because he was tearing up yesterday about it. And 30 minutes. We literally just spoke about that, prayed over that, and, man, he's just an elite leader. And thankful to be in a position to learn from him and listen to him over the next, hopefully, multiple years.
He brought his son with him, and I'm curious because, I watched Thomas Allen play at Indiana, and I was like, you could see, like, Ben Bulwer and Thomas Allen
a little bit bigger version of me.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wish
I had Thomas' size.
But here's the thing, like, you guys are kind of collabing, like you're kind of working together. Do you feel like it's like looking in the mirror sometimes in your approach and mentality and stuff?
A little bit, yeah. There are definitely similarities in us as guys and as coaches, and I think that's the benefit of being in a program like Clemson. You have so much experience. Like in our room, we have a lot of guys that have played linebacker at a high level. In Nick's room, he had a lot of guys that have played D-line, rump, D-line at a high level. For Mickey Kahn, having Nolan Turner, like one of the best safeties ever played at Clemson. So that's what I think the benefit of being at a program like Clemson. You have a lot of experience. You have a lot of different perspectives. But every room is just filled with knowledge and experience. And, yeah, we think the fruit will show come this season because of just the collective knowledge of each group.
Let's talk about the fruit a little bit. You mentioned Wade. He's been used like a Swiss Army knife at times, playing deep safety, like doing some weird stuff. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the next step for him, and how is he going to be utilized?
Would love to. The thing with Wade is he is just blessed when it comes to athleticism and how long he is, how well he can run. So, like, he can be used as a Swiss Army knife. And I understand why he has had to play three positions over the past couple of years. That was one of the things that we talked about a lot as a staff. Hey, are we going to, like, leave him at one position? Well, if we do that, like, we're kind of limiting his potential because he can do so many things and he's smart enough to play all three positions. So I'll say that we're still kind of working through that. Like, hey, if we're going to just, like, you're going to stay here all year. And you can see, even if we go into the season with doing that, something can happen within the first 15 snaps at LSU and change the whole thing. You know, so – we're still trying to work through, like, what our game plan is with Wade, which is a blessing. Like, he's such a freak that we can do many things with him. So I'll put a little footnote in that. We can get back to that in a couple months because we're still trying to figure that out.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Is that the exciting part of, you know, you've got Sammy in there and you've got Wade, but you've got a new scheme and you've got some unproven depth. So there is still some figuring out to do, and there's a lot of ways you can play the board that you've
got. Yeah, we got a plethora of talent. I mean, you think at every single level we have legitimate guys. And you see, it's funny, because Coach Swinney speaks about this a lot, about how, like, everyone thought we freaking sucked last year. And now we have seven first-round draft picks. And we always know, we've always known that we've had super talented guys. But it's been the biggest thing is to see them grow as leaders and as communicators and really take the reins of the defense. And that's what I've been most proud of Wade, is he's really just stepped in a leadership role and he's demanded it, like, from a player perspective. And that's, like, one of the things that I've spoke about a lot, is the most elite teams are the ones that are player-led. And you need a guy that's in the locker room, that's kind of a coach in the locker room or coach on the field, that is seeing things on their level since they're the same age. And I think he's done an incredible job of just bringing guys along, and if not, forcing them to come along. But, yeah, from a talent standpoint, I mean, we got a lot of freaking talent. Like, we got some dudes. We got some dudes on defense. It'll be a fun year.
Who pops to you? Like, who did you watch, like, in your new role, and you're like, I need this guy to be a dude, and he's answered the bell?
Man, D. Creighton's had an awesome offseason. He's gained 12 pounds of muscle.
Wow.
I don't know how you do that in an offseason. So Megan, we have this group thread. So I have, like, my backer group thread, and then I have a group thread with our nutritionist, and it's the Lean Mean Linebacker Machines. And she sent a message last week. Everyone's dex is down, like, their body fat's going down. Cause that's one of the things, like, that we've challenged the guys with, is, like, hey, we want y'all to be lean. We've got to be in great shape, got to be able to run, play a lot of snaps. And we just now did a recent DEXA. And, yeah, he gained 12 pounds of muscle. And that's one of the things I've been telling them over the past couple of months, man. Like, the work's going to show one way or another, whether you've been – putting it in, getting after it day in and day out, or you've just been lazy checking a box over the past couple months, but worked on a show. It's going to come to its head. And I think that's just, I mean, it's shown for Dean. Like, you can't gain 12 pounds of muscle in a couple months without putting in the work. So, super excited for him. I mean, like, loved how he played last year, like, getting the chance to go in within, like, first couple of series against Pitt, and then have an incredible game, like, grading out as well as he did, being as productive as he did. Super excited for him to, again, put that on tape in fall camp, and hopefully this season get a lot more snaps and be just as productive.
A couple more for Ben Bulwer here as we continue on at Clemson Football Media Days. Your first impressions of Jeremiah Alexander?
I would say the hardest working kid I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Yeah, and I've been around, like, McKenzie.
You know Ben Bulwer, though.
Yeah, but, like, I've been around the McKenzie Alexanders of the world. Like, dude's different. Like, me and McKenzie, like, me and him used to get into it because he used to test me, and he used to outwork. So people don't know, like, he lived with me for a couple of months, and when we were, like, coming into Clemson. And we went through some workouts together, and he crushed me. And,
really?
And he tested me a lot because he was out working me, and I couldn't keep up with him. And I'm 230, dude's freaking 185, so obviously that's giving an excuse. He was out working me. And so, like, McKenzie Alexander, I've experienced those guys who are just different. And then Jeremiah came along, and he just reminded me of McKenzie, of how just all he does is work on his craft. And it's always focused on. It's like ball and then rest and then ball. It's all he does. So got a lot of respect for that guy. He's leading the team in accountability points and only been here for, I mean, a couple of months. So he's done everything. He has done more than what's quite expected. And I'm excited for him to experience some fruit this year because he's just, like, worked his tail off. Like, literally the hardest working kid I've ever seen in my entire life.
What about Kobe McLeod?
Yeah, man, I'm excited to get him back healthy. He's obviously dealt with a knee injury. And
honestly, huge loss. Like, I don't know that we fully appreciated in the moment what that was going to mean to the
massive
group last year.
Yeah, he was a guy that was going to get a lot of snaps last year, and obviously messing up his knee like he did, that's, like, super unfortunate. So for him, it's just getting back healthy, getting back into the swings of things of, like, being a college athlete, and then also, like, getting used to how I coach and getting used to what I demand, you know. So he's finally – I think he'll be fully cleared for fall camp. He's running around doing the workouts with the guys. So I got a lot of linebackers, and which is a great problem to have. And I'm excited for him to just get back into it because I know that was a long injury, and that's you deal with a lot of stuff when you do something with your knee. Obviously, the way of college football and just recovery now, you can get stuff cleaned up pretty quickly. It doesn't take as long as it used to. And guys can rebound. Like, it's not like a career-ending thing. So, but you have a long recovery process like that. Like, you just – like, I've dealt with some injuries in my career, and mentally, just emotionally, relationships. So, I'm excited for him just to get back into the normalcy of college football and, again, put it on tape.
You have transitioned into coaching. That can be stressful on you. It can be stressful on family. Your family good? Everybody good?
Yeah, my family's great. Yeah, awesome. My wife is started staying at home. So I got two kids. I got a little boy that's roughly 2 years old. I don't want to say, like, he's 25 months. He's freaking two. He's 2 years old. And so
I think after 2 years, like, you got retired months.
Okay,
yeah, I think that's right.
So he's two, and I've, like, always known about the terrible twos, and I love him, terrible. Just like – a little meathead running around, and then I'm a girl dad, so a little girl that's 5 months old, so two under two, if you will. But my wife is staying at home now, so it's built a house a couple years ago, like a year and a half ago, so that's been super fun. So yeah, a lot of things have changed in my life over the past couple of years, but I feel like just boys are chaos, and that's all we do. We thrive in chaos. You know, my wife may not, but I thrive in chaos, and I guess I kind of force her to live in the chaos as well. But, yeah, everyone's good on the bullwear front.
Awesome. Great to see you.
Likewise.
Great to hear from you. Absolutely.
Thank you for the time, sir.
Best of luck, man.